In my devotions yesterday, I was listening to the Lectio 365 reflection. I don't know if any of you follow along with that. The Bible reading was from John 19, just before our readings today, verses 38 to 42. It's hard to know what to do on Holy Saturday. It's kind of that in-between day, isn't it? And the theme for yesterday's reflection was the silence of Holy Saturday. And the focus turned to verse 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had been laid. The author, Carla Harding, writes, even then, in that in-between space, God's story hints that something new is beginning. The garden, Jesus' resting place. He reminded Carla of that first garden, the Garden of Eden. Could this place of disappointment and death and loss somehow become a space where humanity and God can walk together again? Well, the silence has been broken, and we're here at Resurrection Sunday. And so the answer to that question is a resounding yes. You know, if we look through John's gospel and pretty much the whole gospel, that theme of that promise that one day again, God's people will walk with him again, will be united with him, will abide with him, will know him, really, really know him. That theme permeates the whole gospel. And one of the key metaphors for drawing that theme out for John is the idea of a new Garden of Eden. Resurrection life brings that hope to life. And so we celebrate today that we can walk with God and know God and abide with God and in God. Resurrection Sunday makes everything new. Our theme for Easter, this Easter, is, in case you missed it, up on the banners everywhere. It's come and see. Today we're going to invite space to come and see. I'm not sure what that's going to look like for you. I'm not sure what the Holy Spirit has been doing in your heart already this morning as we've been worshipping together. But I believe, certainly believe, that the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. What will come and see look like for you? What does it mean for you? What is that hope within you that you're holding on to? Almost pleading with God, could that happen? Could that happen in my life? Can that be raised in my life? Can Resurrection Sunday be real for me today? Come and see is experiential. It invites a response. I think all of us at some time in our life have been grabbed by a child. You know, a child would grab our hand, come and see. Come and see what I made. Come and see what I did. And so my invitation to you today is come and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here. And we pray another dangerous prayer today. Holy Spirit, will you speak to us, each one of us? Will you reveal to us what that invitation might be for us? What is it you want us to see today? What is it you want me to see today? We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will strengthen faith in this room. We don't just want to hear something and it to be unclear. Lord, give us the faith to hear you clearly. We ask for a clarity that penetrates our heart and we hear clearly with our ears. Give us faith that believes in your resurrection power, your power that brings new life, that can restore, that can transform, that can heal. Give us ears that hear your invitation with clarity, the peace of mind to respond to that invitation, and the faith that believes that it comes from you, and you will do in us what you want to do. This is our prayer today, and we say amen to that. Amen. The Bible readings today have kind of given us a bit of an overview of how the resurrected Jesus appeared to some of the disciples. And we're going to focus just on two of those disciples this morning, Mary Magdalene and Thomas. I've got a couple of pictures to show you just to help us visualize what was going on that first Sunday morning. Our first picture is of Mary. What do you see when you look at that picture? What emotions do you see? Do you see despair? Exhaustion? Sadness? Yeah? In verse 11, we simply read, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping." But it had to be more than just weeping. Everything she had hoped for, everything that she'd believed in, Jesus had miraculously healed Mary. She had experienced a transformation of life when she met with Jesus. She had been with him for 3 years, with the disciples for 3 years. Only 2 days earlier, 3 days earlier, she'd watched him die the most awesome death. She stood with that group of women who bore witness to his suffering and John. She bore witness to him. Weeping, devastated, exhausted. It almost looks as though the stone is holding her up, doesn't it? Have you ever wondered what got her up early on that first Easter Sunday? She wanted her Lord, yeah. I wonder, could there have been a whisper of the Spirit? Mary, come and see. Disorientated, confused, yeah, sure. I mean, Mary goes on to just casually converse with two angels. It's pretty astounding, really. Just talking to two angels, as you do. Asking them, where have you laid the body? What have you done with him? Did you carry him off? She turns around at the sound of someone behind her. She sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. And so she begins to ask the same question. Did you carry off the body? Have you put him somewhere? She'd been with him for 3 years. She knew Jesus. We don't know what prevented Mary from seeing and recognizing Jesus. Grief, exhaustion. Maybe there's something very different about his resurrected body. Maybe it was her fixation, and she seemed to be a little bit fixated on finding where the body was. Maybe she just had that as like tunnel vision, and she was totally focused on finding where the body was, that she couldn't see what was right in front of her. In his book, Hope in Times of Fear, Tim Keller writes that in a way, Mary represents all of humanity here. We all have our expectations and assumptions about Jesus, and sometimes they get in the way of us really seeing him. Mary mistakes Jesus for the gardener. And again, we have this idea of this being a garden place taking place here. A gardener brings something new to life. the resurrection brought something very new to all of humanity, not just to Mary. And so Jesus calls Mary by name, and her eyes are opened, and she sees him. Her testimony to the other disciples was, "I have seen the Lord," and she races off to tell him. Let's fast forward a bit to Thomas. A pretty different experience. Thomas wasn't with the group of disciples that night when Jesus first appeared to them in that locked room. That night, Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Everything changed that night. But Thomas wasn't there. Have you ever wondered why? What kept him away? Maybe the answer to that can be traced a few chapters earlier in the narrative of John's Gospel. In John 11, Jesus is telling his disciples that he must go to Bethany because his friend Lazarus has died. Now, Bethany is right next door to Jerusalem, and it became very apparent to the disciples by then that Jerusalem was no longer safe for Jesus. In chapter 11, verse 16, Thomas, when hearing Jesus' plan, says to the other disciples, "Come, let us also go, that we might die with him." Now, I don't think this is the voice of somebody wanting to be a martyr here. I think it sounds a whole lot more like somebody who has given up. Mary might have been confused and disorientated with her expectations, but Thomas had given up. Perhaps he just expected the worst, or perhaps he had no expectations whatsoever. The events of Jesus' final week and the manner of his death would have only confirmed his disappointment with Jesus. Thomas had disengaged. Thomas had distanced himself from the other disciples, and he wasn't there when the Holy Spirit came on that first Sunday night. It's a bit of a gruesome photo painting, I know. It's a famous painting by Caravaggio, which captures that encounter of Thomas and the risen Christ a week later. This is Thomas's moment to come and see. But seeing with his eyes wasn't going to be enough for him. For Thomas, it had to be a little bit more graphic. He had to put his hand on the nail wounds, his finger on the nail wounds, and his hand in Jesus' side. Come and see. And Jesus creates this environment for him to come and see, and he believes. Today, I want to invite you to come and see. We've asked the Holy Spirit at the very beginning, before anyone walked in the room this morning, that today would be a place of experiencing and knowing what resurrection power might look like in your life. Sometimes we have a little trouble seeing, like Mary, like Thomas. We don't always, in fact, we rarely have the full picture. Maybe you might be a little bit like Mary and you don't expect to see anything more than the body of a dead Jesus, and you're worried about the logistics of where he's been laid. And blinded by tears of despair, you just don't see much anymore until the risen Christ calls you by name. And then you see. Or maybe we might be a little bit more like Thomas, and life might have been a bit hard lately, and you may have even given it up. You may have even distanced yourself from family and friends who follow Jesus, expecting the worst, disappointed, maybe even disillusioned with Jesus. And for there to be any coming and seeing, it has to be a very real, tangible encounter. You need proof that Jesus is real. It's my prayer for you, if that's kind of how you're feeling at the moment, that today might be a very tangible experience of what coming and seeing might look like for you. Resurrection Sunday is all about everything becoming new, and that everything begins with each one of us. What will it mean for you today? What has been the whisper in your spirit today to that invitation to come and see? If you test your heart this morning, is there confusion? Is there despair? Is there a giving up? It's been too hard and you can't see a way forward. We've left plenty of space this morning, very intentionally, to come and see. And so there is an invitation this morning to come and see, to respond to that whisper of what resurrection life might look like for each one of us.